If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
The hottest Knicks tape you'll find online. Knicks all day. We bleed blue and orange. This is Knicks Fan TV, your one-stop shop for the ultimate New York Knicks fan experience.
Throws it down.
News, rumors, debates. Post-game live streams featuring live callers.
Let's go Knicks, baby!
And now, your host, CP, the NY Fanatic.
Yo, what's good, Knicks Nation? Welcome back for another Game of the Week preview. We're going to preview Game 5 of the New York Knicks facing the Philadelphia 76ers. This time, they're on their way back, if not back already, from traveling I-95. Instead of going south, they're back north, and they'll be playing Madison Square Garden tomorrow. So, of course, we got to get ready, and we got my guy, Dave Early, even though he's wearing a Reggie Miller shirt. I don't know what's going on over here with that nonsense. But hey, man, before we ask Dave what he's doing over here and how he's feeling, make sure to hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Make sure to subscribe to the channel if you haven't already done so. Make sure to support our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Use that promo code KFTV to get up to a $100 match on your first deposit. All right, let's get into this. Dave, I'm not even going to ask you how you're doing because you're irritating me with a Reggie Miller shirt right now. So what the hell is going on and why you got a Reggie Miller shirt?
Well, you know, the Sixers right now, they could use Reggie instead of Tobias Harris, I suppose. So, you know, as someone covering the team for a diehard fan site, I'm channeling Reggie here if it'll help.
Oh my God. And I don't know if I said this, but you do cover the Philadelphia 76ers for the Liberty Ballers, part of SB Nation. But I just can't do this, man. I can't have you rocking a Reggie Miller shirt. If the Knicks defeat the Sixers tomorrow, which I'm pretty confident in them doing, all right? It most likely is going to be the Indiana Pacers. So this is just way too premature for me. I don't like that. I don't like the energy you're trying to give me right now. So, but if anyone's choking, though, it is the Philadelphia 76ers. So please, let me hear your stance on what you've thought of the series so far.
Well, the Sixers, I actually did... Before the series started, I said to you, I do think the Sixers would have to win two in the Garden to win this series, because I have the Knicks winning one in Philly, and I had it with a roaring Knicks contingent in the crowd. So that part of my prediction has come true. The two wins in the Garden has not. So they obviously still need to win games 5 and 7 if they want to advance at this point. They did choke. You said it yourself. I mean, we've seen it in the past as Sixers fans. You think of that Game 4 where you could have went up 3-1 over Toronto and they kind of just went ice cold at home. There's a couple Game 6s, one against Miami where they were eliminated, one against Boston last year. Those are both home games they could have won. And we've seen this team come out flat. Now, each time in these series, Joel is injured. So maybe that's something we just have to accept as likely to be the case this time of year. And if you play him the entire second half with Bell's palsy, with the knee issue, it did feel like he probably ran out of steam. But I don't really blame Nick Nurse for trying it, because you saw what happened when he used Paul Reed in the beginning. The Knicks just went at him like he wasn't even there. Probably reminded you of giving Nerlens a shot to play the five.
Look, the thing, like, I think the biggest takeaway, and I just... First, I guess let me start off, because since the Knicks winning yesterday in Philadelphia and overtaking the Wells Fargo Arena, you know, you could hear Let's go Knicks. You can hear MVP chants for Brunson. I mean, it was just through the roof. But that's to be, you know, that's known for Knicks fans. We travel very well. We're a rowdy bunch. We love this team to death. So I'm not shocked that they were able to invade another team's arena and show. I mean, we've just seen that this entire season, whether it be down in Charlotte, Miami, Orlando, you name it. Knicks Nation always shows up and goes out there and represents very well. I think the thing for me that I'm seeing from a lot of now Sixers fans, because now the algorithm on all my social is showing me how fans feel, and they're talking about this team choking and not showing up and not being prepared for how the Knicks play, and whether that's a defensive style where the Knicks are a tough defensive team. You know, you guys struggle with Miami and their zone, and now you're working now you're seeing the Knicks defense, another team with, they can just turn it up another notch, man, and just how they're able to guard in man, right? And then on top of that, it's just controlling the glass. And then those have been the two biggest takeaways for this team in this series, that every time the Knicks win the rebounding battle, they've won. The only time they've lost was game three, and they lost the rebounding battle. So one, that has stayed true to this point. Two, defensively, they're just gritty, man. They're going to work and make sure everyone is just exhausted by the time 48 minutes comes to an end, right? So I guess move from that, like, is this, like, because we've seen the Sixers, like, they're still getting great performances. So I don't want to, like, I've been seeing also this from a lot of Sixers Nation that, oh, well, if Embiid were healthy, well, we're not healthy either. Like, we don't have Randall, you know, Mitchell Robinson's now out. Bojan Bogdanovic is probably not playing tomorrow. But yeah, you still have your two superstars on that team. You got Maxey, you got Embiid. These guys are just still putting up points like there's no tomorrow. And with that, what would the, I guess, Sixers have to do moving forward if you wanted to get confidence in this team extending this series?
Yeah, I don't know if Nick Nurse would say that we're letting Jalen get his and stopping everyone else, but that's at least how the box scores read, right? Mm-hmm. I do think they're sending a lot of bodies and tall bodies at him. You and I talked a little bit before the series started that what they should do is put guys like Oubre and Batum on him and just try your best not to go for the fakes, because once he gets you on his back, you're toast. And he's been really good at rising up when he feels the contact, kicking it out when there's an open outlet to the corners. So in terms of stopping him, I'm not sure what to do. I mean, he just got on a heater in a way where I don't think any team was fully equipped to stop him, except maybe the Celtics at this point. They got to hit shots. I mean, they shot 25% in the second half. And a lot of those, I mean, I don't want to take any credit away from Tibbs, because you know about his defense, and they have the bodies to match up man-to-man in a way not even Spo could cook up with his, you know, matrix zones. We had Buddy Hield out there playing some good minutes, and he's unplayable in this series because of all the good man-to-man defenders. You know, even some of the ones who you don't go to first, like McBride, these guys just don't give him an inch. So they got to hit their open shots. They can't be so reliant on those two stars, and they're just getting nothing from the other guys. And it's certainly looking like a testament to a team who's deeper, despite the injuries to guys like Bojan, who I don't expect to see. I think his wrist was probably even worse than his ankle to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. His wrist was worse than his ankle. I mean, you saw the wrist brace and so forth, but, you know, do Philly fans still have belief that this team could turn it around? Like, what's the pulse on Sixers Nation right now?
I'm sure there are a lot of fans who still believe. I still think the Sixers can win game five. I wouldn't put my money on it, but if I was a Knicks fan, I'd be pretty nervous as well that if we drop this one, there's a really good chance we're going to lose game six, and then we're going to have to do it at home again. So the pulse is already onto the offseason from a lot of the conversations I had over the last day and a half, talking about, do you need a third star? Well, the Knicks don't even have a second star right now, and they're beating you. Maybe you just need depth. Look how deep the Knicks are. So there's a lot of those conversations. I mean, WIP Radio is talking about trading Joel Embiid this offseason. So I think a lot of Sixers are out of hope and saying, you know, I tweeted out, how much did the Sixers regret not trading for Pascal Siakam? He's averaging, you know, 35 a game in this series. against Milwaukee, playing a lot of NBA trade deadline hindsight, because you can feel the season's mortality on the brink here.
Yeah, I can only imagine, because, you know, you would think that with your two stars, you can get, you know, you would have an edge. I mean, according to Paul Reed, he thought this was going to be the easier matchup. So how's that working out, Paul Reed? But
still think he was right.
But I don't think he was right at all for making that statement, to be honest.
Do you think he was right for thinking it? Because I think Boston was better than the Knicks heading into the postseason.
I don't think he was right thinking either way that was going to be a cakewalk. I think you just, as a player, should just accept being like, look, it's going to be a tough matchup either way. And you keep moving along and you go out there and you try to perform. Like,
I don't think he thought it was a cakewalk. No. Whether or not he said it is a different story. But he did have $8 million to be won by advancing to the second round. So if I were him, I would have wanted the Knicks too. Celtics could have won more games than they did. I mean, they had a shot for 65 if they hadn't load managed as much as they did.
I think at the end of the day, man, like, you still go out there and you battle. And look, whether or not it's easy or not, we're seeing other teams that have taken that route, whether it be the Milwaukee Bucks or the Cleveland Cavaliers. And look, the Cavs were up 2-0. Next thing they know, it's a tied series 2-2 against the Orlando Magic. And they're doing the same thing the Knicks did last year, which is just bodying them and playing physical. And then you look at the Milwaukee Bucks. They wanted the Indiana Pacers. Well, it's showing that the Indiana Pacers were their kryptonite this regular season as they kicked their butt, and they're doing it again. And look, they didn't have Dame. They haven't had Giannis, but still, that's the issue I have, where you think you're going to have the easier route and just downplaying a team. The teams that are in the postseason, they're there for a reason, because they're talented. And the Knicks didn't get to 50 wins just by being gifted 50 wins. So my thing is that if you're Paul Reed, the team that just got to 50 wins while they went through a lot of injuries, there's nothing that says that's an easy route either. And so that's how I feel about the matter. But besides that side tangent, salute to Knicks Nation. Thank you all for tuning in for another Game of the Week preview. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Make sure you subscribe to the channel if you haven't already done so. I'm your host tonight, Alex Rotaris, a.k.a. the Tradicaster. With me on the other side is my guy, Dave Early. He covers the Sixers for Liberty Ballers, part of the SB Nation, as we are here to preview Game 5 of the Knicks as they face off against the 76ers tomorrow. Make sure to support our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Use that promo code KFT to get up to a $100 match. And remember, if you want to go hang out with Knicks Nation and go watch Game 5, make sure to go to Sucker Punch happening tomorrow. Make sure to tap in there. All right. So, Dave, moving along and going on to now Game 5, looking ahead, you talked about you just need guys to make shots. Is there anything else that you would look from this team? Is it something that Nick Nurse has to go out there? Would you give Buddy Hield another shot to get out there and see something? Is there a guy on the bench? I see, like, there's this guy who played in the G League that people are asking for to come up and start making moves. What would be the next steps for the Sixers? What should they do?
Yeah, I would have turned to Buddy. I think that they got the lightning in the bottle game out of campaign in Game 3. So I would have turned to Buddy and given him one more shot. I think when you have a guy who's struggling to the degree that he is, and he's not getting good looks. I mean, the Knicks are making sure that the only thing he's out there to do is provide gravity, because he's not going to get a good look and he's not going to hold up necessarily on defense. But I would have given him a shot in Game 4. I caught a little flack from that from Sixers fans because Buddy has looked so bad. But I don't think the process of that decision was terrible. I kind of feel like it was one of the things that Spo might do. You know, he sees this guy blow up one night and he goes with some other guy the next night, and it keeps them all ready and it keeps them all feeling a little bit more confident. At this point, how can you turn back to Buddy unless it's a complete desperation situation? I wouldn't have gone to Ricky Council, the guy some people were talking to, because
that's the name. Thank you.
you can't trust his jump shot right now. Maybe it's an off-season project. He does bring some athleticism, but athleticism is something you're really looking for on the defensive end. And I think the Sixers had a pretty good game plan for that, only 97 points allowed. That's a game where if you gave them that, they'd love their chances. Scoring 92 is probably the issue Nick Nurse would talk to. And, you know, is Ricky Council going to solve that problem? I have a hard time thinking. I mean, Tyrese Maxey did as a rookie. He came in for Ben Simmons when he was struggling, and he was lightning in a bottle, and they didn't go back to him in Game 7 against Atlanta. But no, I would have stuck with the horses. You need Tobias Harris to simply be better. I don't think there's necessarily a magic formula in terms of personnel for Nurse to figure out. But certainly playing Joel Embiid the entirety of the second half doesn't seem to have worked out well. So maybe you try small ball. I don't know. If you really think Paul Reed is not the answer, because I think someone tweeted out that the Knicks are going at him, you know, 64% of their shots in the paint when Reed's out there and 46% when Embiid's out there. I saw floating around Twitter the day we recorded this. So it's like the Knicks don't even see him, or maybe they have that extra motivation because he gave him some bulletin board material, if you like that narrative. He's not going to be guaranteed. So you've definitely got some Sixers fans thinking Harris is off the books, Paul Reed's off the books. Maybe you can upgrade those spots. What else would I do if I were Nick Nurse? I guess I would give Melton another look. I mean, he missed two shots. You don't know about his back. He hasn't been able to play two games in a row yet, but you need something. And if you're not going to play Buddy, which I would do, I guess Melton's your next man up, or you just roll with Payne.
And Payne has been, you know, impactful. I mean, he makes some pretty significant threes. I mean, that's what you brought Buddy Hield in to do, but he hasn't even attempted a three. So it's just hard. I think it's just hard for Nick Nurse to go back and rely on him. You know, from a Knicks standpoint, the adjustment yesterday was, the big adjustment was where Tom Thibodeau put OG on Embiid. You know, he then left McBride out there to guard Maxey, which he's been doing this, you know, this series, but to trust Deuce on Maxey, to trust OG on Embiid, and then to still have Precious out there when Hartenstein got into foul trouble in the third quarter, I think that's something that Tibbs would probably take another look at, because it just had so much success yesterday between Precious's ability to guard the perimeter and just be a switchable defender. You know, it just makes the Knicks defense that much more versatile. Hartenstein has been great for the Knicks, but he doesn't have that same lateral quickness as Mitchell Robinson, who's able to guard the pick and roll, and even what Precious is doing. So I think Tibbs, if there's anything that he takes away from game four, is that he implements that back into game five because he saw a lot of success.
That I think you nailed it. I mean, he had one more foul to go to Hartenstein if he wanted to, but he left Precious in. It must have been pretty weird for Nick Nurse to see OG and Precious. The two of them have talked about it as Knicks this year, the chemistry that they developed in Toronto and the communication they have to help each other out on D. You saw OG fronting Joel, which is not something we saw much of in the first. You saw some late blitzes, which I think might have surprised Joe because they hadn't been doing much of it. They were kind of playing them straight up with Mitch or Isaiah. But then there was a little bit more unpredictability in the whole defensive scheme, and it left shooters who were, I guess, what else do you want to say, unprepared to knock down shots, and Joel probably gassed a little bit down the stretch. So I would definitely go back to that if I were Tibbs.
Speaking about Joel being gassed, do you think he's been gassed? Like, I know he came back from injury. He's not in the same shape that he was prior to injury, but, you know, he is still an impactful player. He has shown that even playing on, you know, one leg, as everyone likes to claim. But it just seems like in the fourth quarter, he just runs out of steam. You know, I saw these stats. Going to give Clutch Points some credit over here because they tweeted this out yesterday. In game one, Embiid went 0 of 5 in the fourth quarter. In game two, Embiid went 2 of 6 from the field in the fourth quarter. In game three, Embiid went 1 of 2 in the fourth quarter. And in game four, Embiid went 0 of 5 yet again from the field in the fourth quarter. So in total, Embiid is shooting 3 of 18 from the field in fourth quarters this series. How concerning is that for you? And is that something that, well, obviously I think it's something that would need to change because he is your guy.
It's done.
Connor McDavid, it's not real.
The goal of the year,
Panarin!
Part of the past, the celebrations forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday. Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah, I think Joe would be the first one to tell you that the knee is the biggest problem. But the conditioning is a major problem. And he knew that was going to be the case. I think if he hadn't tweaked it and retweaked it, you know, against Detroit and then Orlando and in game one and the dunk, you probably would have seen a different version of him over the series, assuming it wasn't inevitable that he was going to get hurt. But the conditioning is certainly there. And it's something that we saw in 2019 when he was, you know, he had these pretty glaring splits between the first and the second half when he was dealing with left knee tendonitis, which just happens to be the knee that was operated on in early February. That being said, the Knicks are up 3-1, and we've got all these statistics that make it look like Joel's faltering. If a couple calls in game two go the other way, we're knotted up, and the Sixers can't really hate where they're at. They stole home court. They got home court back, yada, yada, yada. So I think, you know, there was still a play or two difference in this series that now looks like it was long gone in the rearview, and they're just getting outplayed badly. But I think that the reality is these teams are a little bit closer than the series is suggesting with that 3-1 score.
I think it just comes down to execution in game two that you're talking about, right? Because, look, you talk about Lowry missing a free throw. You talk about Maxey not securing the inbound pass.
Well, because he was grabbed. That's why he didn't catch it clean.
I mean, you know, he pushed Josh Hart too. So, I mean, look, there's a lot of stuff that happened where I'm just, at the end of the day, you got to execute, right? So,
right. So
I don't look at that like they've had chances to execute and they haven't. I mean, look, you're talking about, I'm just giving you out numbers for Embiid and he's not executing the fourth quarter, whether that's not understanding how to get his teammates involved during then or just how to find a better look for himself. I mean, that's how I'm reading it as. And that's just the Knicks are just executing. I mean, there are moments throughout both these games, and I just feel that you feel how tense it is. I'm sure you do watching these games too, where each possession is so critical that every turnover, it's magnified by like 10,000, and that you can't have those. I mean, from a Knicks perspective, every time they have a turnover when Embiid is sitting, I'm like, yo, you can't. You can't have that, man. You got to take advantage of every minute, every second possible while Embiid's off the floor, because that's when the Knicks have been able to get back in the game. So it just comes down to execution. So for game five, outside of some of the adjustments that the coaches are making, like, I'm looking at this as, you know, I think Brunson's going to do the damn thing. I'm just wondering who's going to show up for tomorrow, because from the Knicks side, it's just been a different cast of characters who've showed up, whether it's Josh Hart in the first two games as that consistent offense. Granted, you get Dante with some clutch shooting at the end. Yesterday, it was OG who was that guy who subsidized the scoring because Josh Hart, Dante weren't there. And look, McBride's been very impactful coming off the bench too. We lost Bodega, you know, in a few minutes. Yeah, you know, when he entered the third, was it third quarter? Second quarter? Third quarter? I forget. I think it was the second quarter, actually.
When Batum fell on his ankle, yeah.
Yeah, and second quarter. So, you know, like, guys have been big, but I'm just wondering who's going to be that next consistent scorer tomorrow night, because Brunson has just found his groove since game three. Now I'm just wondering, is it going to be Josh Hart again since we're home? Is it going to be Deuce McBride? I'm probably going to go back to OG. Just because the Sixers have now stopped Hart from getting open looks, because they haven't really been doubling. Like, they double Brunson, but it wasn't as aggressive as it was in game one and two. So I think it's going to be OG who did a solid job yesterday. Who would you say on the Sixers standpoint would be, I guess, that X factor for tomorrow's game? Is it Oubre? Because I know when he scores well, Sixers are usually in a prime position.
Yeah, I would worry. On the Knicks' end, I would worry quite a bit of Dante getting hot. I would fear one of those games where everyone on the Knicks is hot, you know, and the pressure is off, and Tibbs has to turn to Alec Burks because Bojan is out and he hits two threes or whatever it is. on the Sixers end, I think Kelly's probably the guy you look at, because I have no trust in Tobias. You know this. I haven't in a long time now. He's just so hard to rely on. If he's going to have a good game, it's probably because he got most of it front-loaded in the first quarter or two. But I think he gets, I hate to say it, but I think he gets tight in the second half of games. And Kelly doesn't. Kelly, he might not finish well, but he's not going to get nervous. You'll see that with his shot selection. You know that he's not feeling the nerves, because I'm like, well, why did he shoot that one? It's because he was confident enough to do it, but he was positive it was going in. So I think, yeah, I think it would be a game where Embiid looks healthier than he has at other times in this series, certainly healthier than he did in the first half, in the second half of game one. He'd have to look better than that. Maybe he has a little bit less going on with his eye. That would help too, so that he could not necessarily rely so much on jumpers. You got a lot of Knicks playing him nose to nose. And it's, I think it's been in his head a little bit. If I simply rise up and my elbow makes contact with their chest or their face, am I going to get a call, or are they going to let it play? So I think that's been attacked by Tibbs. Less so with OG on him, because OG is quick enough to let him take a dribble and still get a hand up on any jumper. But Joe's got to look a little healthier. Maxie can't go 8 of 21 or whatever he was. I mean, I feel like he didn't hit a shot in the second half watching that game. Not literally, but, you know, he had a really rough second half. I don't know what the deal was, if he got nervous or tight. Was it being 22? Was it, you know, the full load of this entire season with Nick Nurse playing him the way Tibbs plays some of his guys? Big, big 40-plus minute games. Or was it something else? You know, he's had a flu, he's had a hip, who knows? My guess is it was a little bit of a combination of being young, the Knicks defense, and just a cold patch where he was maybe feeling a little nervous. So you got to get him, you got to get Joe, and you got to get a third guy. It doesn't really matter to me who it is. We saw it was Batum against the Heat. My best guess would probably be Oubre, because he's had a couple big games at the Garden this year. Dropped 18 and 10 in a win, so if you can get him penetrating, it would give the Sixers' half-court offense a dimension that's been lacking in this series.
Well, we all know it's not going to be Tobias Harris, so he's MIA of the series, man.
Sixers fans are—it's done. There's some of them that are simply looking forward to his contract being off the books, and they've already accepted an L in Game 5.
You know, it's just so funny just doing this entire preview for each and every single game. And everyone it's just Tobias Harris is like the odd man out. And it's just funny to even hear from you. You know, we had the beat writer, Adam Aronson, come on the show, and he talked about how Harris is he's got just an X on his back, man. It's just a guy who has not performed or lived up to the contract. And I find it funny. It's just sad. But sorry for Strong Island's finest, you know, Strong Island's finest is not showing up, and thankfully so. But hey, I just got another question, though, and we're going to wrap up this show pretty quickly. So with this, what is your expectation for tomorrow's game for Knicks Sixers?
Expectation for the game? I think that there is a 33% chance the Knicks just blow them out. Mm. I think there's another 33% chance the Knicks win by 8 or less. And then I think there's a 33% chance the Sixers win. I reserve 1% for the unknowns. some overtime where we have to talk about it for days, maybe, and the refs again.
No, oh, God.
People getting banned from the Liberty Bell or the Empire State Building.
Well, I haven't heard any referee, complaints so far from either side. So, you know, I'm guessing that the vibes can't be so great out in Philly right now, because I know Nick Nurse would be campaigning left and right. And look,
I like the Knicks pun don't have, there.
Huh?
I like that campaign pun.
There you go. And I know it's not coming from Tibbs, because we're up 3-1. There's no reason to start doing that. Obviously, when coaches lose a game, they go out there and they start advocating for their players. So since we haven't heard from Nick Nurse, I wonder what the vibe over is in that locker room right now. For me, I'm expecting the Knicks to go out there. I expect this to be a battle. But if the Knicks get really hot from the field tomorrow, I could see Philly packing it in and just saying, you know what? we got to just go back and retool this offseason. So I still think
they did that against the Celtics last year. They dropped the heartbreaker in game six. They didn't show up in game seven at all. And then the year before that, you know, they didn't show up to their own game six at home against Miami.
Yeah, and look, you also have that Ben Simmons dunk against
at least that Atlanta. One was winnable. They were in it. Maybe they should have just benched Simmons and then they could have pulled it out or put in Maxey instead of Korkmaz. Anything. Come on, Doc. Not that I'm not over it.
Not that you're not over it. Not that Doc is far away and just ruining another team. So, hey, else is going on? But, hey, Dave, I really appreciate you coming through and helping me preview this game. Please let the listeners know where they can find you and if you got any upcoming work we should be on the lookout for.
I'm at David Early, DavidEarly on Twitter. All my writing for LibertyBallers.com.
And thanks to Dave once again for coming through and previewing game five of this Knicks and Sixers matchup. Everybody, you know what to do out there who's tuning in. Make sure, one, to go follow Dave and support him. All right, he does a great job over at Liberty Ballers covering the Sixers. All right, part of the SB Nation Network over there. So make sure to go follow him and check him out on all socials. But for you, right here, right now, make sure you hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Make sure to subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already. And make sure to support our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Use that promo code KFTV to get up to your $100 match. Also, make sure to go to Sucker Punch tomorrow if you want to go hang out with Knicks Nation for the Game 5 watch party, okay? Watch parties are still going. We're still rocking. We're still vibing. Come on, we got to keep that energy flowing as the New York Knicks need that. It's like giving Goku the energy for a spirit bomb, okay? You just got to stay focused and allow the energy to channel through. So make sure to be giving up the energy so that way the Knicks can go out there and get that victory tomorrow and go give the gentleman sweep to the Philadelphia 76ers. And hey, if you didn't see it on Twitter today, all right, or if you didn't see it on any social media, guess who's coming through tomorrow at 12 p.m. Kendrick Perkins, the man himself who's been promoting the New York Knicks and Jalen Brunson on ESPN. He is coming through to Knicks Fan TV tomorrow to chop it up with CP, and make sure to tap in tomorrow. Make sure to have that notification bell ready because you got to get locked. And we're going to have the guy himself, the only one who's advocating on the national stage for us while everyone's just clowning us. He's going to be coming through tomorrow talking to CP. So make sure to get locked in for that. But thank you to everyone who tapped in today for this Game of the Week preview. Hunto in here, Junior Caroma. The regulars are in here as always. Shout out to JJ. Shout out to my guy TM, the chief mod in operation. And shout out to all the mods for doing a great job as well. Johnny4481, I see you as well. Shout out to you. Shout out to 2 Lifted. Shout out to Mil Petovic. Shout out to all you guys. Shout out to all the franchise channel members, man. Once again, thank you all for tuning in for another Game of the Week preview. We out. If I don't make you bet the fam will, watch the city fall in love with us. Clyde Frazier with the hand skis.